The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome. Welcome to it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And we welcome in Mark Kranak. Kranak, you doing well? How are you, sir?
Good morning. Let's do this. We're 2 weeks out. It's kind of ridiculous. I'm not totally prepared for this, but I've decided not to eat Chinese for breakfast this time.
That's a good thing. You've made the correction from a week ago. And
thank you.
That's a bit of a surprise to me. That not that you made a better choice, but you've just kind of gone cold turkey on the Kung Pao chicken on Saturday mornings. That's a good thing. Almost as good as a surprise is, I don't know, no practice today, go see Kendrick Lamar, Coach Riley wearing the Santa hat last night. That was pretty cool.
Wasn't any part of you, like, I know it's fine, obviously, but didn't any part of you go, wait, is that an NCAA violation?
I don't care.
That tells you how lame the NCAA came into my brain.
After hearing and seeing the amount of $100 handshakes that go on walking through a parking lot the last 2 weeks and expose college football stories, a head coach treating his guys to a concert is an act of kindness, not a ploy to bend the rules. That's how I view it. But no, that was the reaction. Wait, can they do that? You know what? If it's under the umbrella of team, then I think they're good with it. They wouldn't have done anything to vacate any victories here shortly.
Yeah, no, of course not. And they wouldn't have put a video out on Huskers.com about it. But I'm just saying, that's how weird and lame the NCAA is at times, because of course they wouldn't put it out there if it was a violation. But there was I guarantee I can't be the only one that saw that and was just like, wait, hold on. Is that, I think that violates Section 24, you know, whatever. It was otherwise a great moment.
It was a wonderful moment. Kranak, a lot going on with camp. Can join us this morning on Hail Varsity Radio, the weekend edition, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House let you do that. Here is the lineup. We will rewind in about 20 minutes, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, was in town this week. He had a long look at Nebraska. Coach joined us on Wednesday. You'll hear that conversation. I was torn between Coach DiNardo and Joe Tessitore. Joe Tess, Mr. College Football, you know, he's calling the fight tonight at Pinnacle Bank Arena between
nice.
Crawford and Ndongo. You'll hear that interview a little later. The ESPN 101.5 1480 special pre-fight show gets rolling at 3:30 down in the rail yard, so we'll get you geared up and primed up for the championship fight tonight. So we are loaded up in hour two. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. Vogues will get caught up with us. And then Greg Smith is on location. He was able to see Mario Goodrich last night, a talented Nebraska recruit for 18. We'll get some recruiting thoughts from Greg Smith in hour number two. Can always take us with on the ESPN Lincoln app if you're headed to the soccer game or flag football or whatever the case may be. Kranak, a lot of questions still to be answered in camp between red shirts, between captains, and that running back race. I want to start, though, with an article from Sports on Earth that came out yesterday when it comes to pressure and Tanner Lee. Matt Brown, very talented writer, put a laundry list of things missing from Nebraska football since 1999, between top 10 finishes, conference championship, and I think he painted the picture pretty accurately. Nebraska's kind of been waiting for that savior at quarterback, and they've had some good to really, really good quarterbacks post-Crouch. They have. Guys that have been underappreciated, maybe they didn't have a full complement of weapons. And it's been, you know, close but not quite there in some of the instances with conference championship games. And right now, Nebraska has, in my view, a real difference maker. That's the hope anyway at quarterback when you look at what it's going to take to win the West. And then can you get that that one shot in Indy on a Saturday night? And the topic was pressure. And I kind of go the other way with this pressure thing. I think Tanner Lee is not gonna cave, not going to be bombarded by the pressure of quarterback at Nebraska. I'm not minimizing the scope of the eyeballs and spotlight that'll be on him. I think he's extremely excited to be on a team like this. I think he's extremely excited to be in a situation like this compared to how his college career previously went. This is something, and it's similar to Riley, Oregon State to Nebraska, you know, going to a better situation with some talents. Can you do more with more? And that's where I wanted to start today, because things hinge on what type of quarterback play you're going to get. That's in works with, you know, your offensive line and offense. But I really don't see the mental strain being a reason as to why Nebraska can't and won't succeed this year. There'll be maybe several reasons as to why Nebraska may or may not win the West or finish better in the West or play for a Big Ten championship. But as far as the pressure of being quarterback at Nebraska, I don't see that as a deal breaker for Tanner Lee in this offense.
No, I don't. You know, I don't see it either as for a few reasons, because I actually look at Tanner Lee as and Nebraska's upcoming season as, like, if he's as good as they say. Mm-hmm. Seriously, think about it. We have to seriously adjust our expectations of this team. Our expectations, I think, in probably consensus, if you were to poll enough people, 8 or 9 wins this year.
Right.
Fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's okay. Fair.
Okay. But now put Aaron Rodgers on your team. How much does that change it?
It ups it significantly.
Okay, and that's essentially what he's being talked about. He's being talked about as that level of talent. And I'm looking at that Sports on Earth article, and they have on a repeating GIF that beautiful ball he threw to Spielman in
between
the corner.
Two defenders.
Yeah. So, no, you're right. I think the pressure thing is sort of like, look, it's August, man.
So
it's mid-August.
Find something to write about.
Well, what else are you going to write about? You know, same with what we're talking about, the running back contra of battle. Like, look, they're all going to play, right? Like, we just know that. There's not going to be, like, Lawrence Phillips isn't walking through. Amon Green's not walking through that door, at least so far. You know what I mean? It's mid-August. And so you're going to write about stories about pressure. I have, like, just watch the guy get interviewed. Do you think he doesn't look like he's capable of feeling pressure?
Well,
to be honest,
I think he's taken the accentuate the positive approach. I really do. You know why? Because he isn't going to get sacks. Pray to God he won't get sacked 60 times in a season and break
exactly
a finger and have 50 concussions.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you want a point in case as to what he was going from, and this was a great story as Vogel dove into Diaco and Lee when they, you know, touched gloves, and this was back in 2015 when Tulane played UConn, and it was a 7-3 game. It was the mother of all rainstorms down in New Orleans, and UConn won the game 7-3. And they won the game 7-3 on a 67-yard interception return by that Diaco secondary, you know, who they picked off. Well, that game had 1.5 inches of rain throughout. It rained straight and steady, as the legend goes. You know how many passing attempts Tanner Lee had attempted in a game that had 1.5 inches of rain?
Let me read off that box score.
40.
13 of 40.
40? Hey, we're getting our ass kicked up front. We can't run the ball. Let's call another pass in a Lieutenant Dan-style hurricane. Ready, break.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. His whole situation is completely changing.
There was no Stanley Morgan to chuck it to. There's no Hoppus to find in the scene. There's no Will Bond to check down. There's no DPE to find on a bubble screen. And there's no Spielman to fit in between two defenders in the southwest corner of the end zone. He's smiling as he wakes up every morning.
You hope. And that's the thing about this year that
he's not
so
rocking in
different.
The corner out of pressure and fear with this job.
Look, man, here's the thing, though. This to call it the year of uncertainty makes it seem like you're worried.
Sure.
So I'm not really saying that. But
I'd say unknown.
Look, it's like I cannot remember us going into a season knowing so little.
Mm-hmm.
You think, you hope, you project, as opposed to, I don't know, say last year when it's like, well, Tommy Armstrong is coming back. Well, most of the line's coming back. You know what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a general idea of what's happening. When you look at, take for instance, DeMorne Pearsonell. I was looking up his numbers from last year. Dude had a touchdown.
A
touchdown, right? But in the offseason, it's like, well, DeMorne Pearsonell's got the number two spot, and so they're going to be fine there. He's going to be one of the two targeted guys along with – it's like, is he? He had a touchdown. He played most of the year, and he had a touchdown. Granted, different quarterback situation, whatever. So there's your number two target. No wonder why nobody's high on Nebraska. You look at the returning number. Stanley Morgan's been anointed as, you know, Jerry Rice – deservedly so. I think the guy's good, but he was like your number three or four target last year.
Well, and look what
right?
And look what was in front of him. I mean, that's how deep and talented they were at wideout. I mean, you had Westy, you had Zoe, and you had Brandon.
And then you go to running back.
Mm-hmm.
And Zigbo, after his freshman year, for whatever reason, kind of fell out of favor from the coaches last year. You know, he sat for entire games, didn't play a lot. And so what are you going to get out of him? What are you going to get out of the running back spot? And then all of a sudden you have a 3-4 defense to throw in there.
Yeah.
Which I know, of course, they're only going to go 3-4 about half of their downs, granted. But it's an entirely new scheme. We all know that. And from a place where you had, I don't know, zero linebackers 2 years ago, now you got like 22 of them. And this is another case where it's like, well, Luke Gifford always killed. Oh, Chris Weber doing awesome. Muhammad Barry, my goodness. Those guys have hardly played, like, at all. And then you look at corner. Come on. These guys haven't played at all either. You know, and then it's like, well, and, you know, Josh Galoog is probably going to be the best safety in America. He hasn't even played the position in college. He's going to be the best in America.
It's about projecting success, Kranak.
Yeah, and then get Aaron Williams. Oh, you don't got to worry. He's smartest, best safety. Oh, he's great. Did he jump off the page last year at you? No. He was a solid player.
He did well last year.
Yeah. But look at the guys that you're depending on. You're depending on Chris Weber. Dude hardly played last year. You're depending on Lamar Jackson. Didn't look very good when he did play last year. Depending on Eric Lee. Didn't play hardly at all last year. Depending on Tanner Lee. Apparently he's Joe Montana. right? It's unbelievable how DeMorne Pearsonell. Yeah, well, he's going to return to freshman form. No problem. It was like 2 years ago last time he was in freshman form. He had one good punt return against Oregon and a touchdown last year. It's, I don't know, man. You know what I mean?
You're betting on a lot of upside to come through.
A lot. Here's what's interesting.
Waves of upside.
If all that comes through and all those people we just mentioned prove to be competent, if not stalwart, at their position, dude, 8 or 9 wins is not nearly enough. You know what I mean? Like, if they're really that kind of entrenched and that good and make that much of a jump, it's ridiculous to only think they're only going to get 8 wins.
That's your gray area. That is your gray area.
It's a huge gray area.
With
right?
Wondering what they can do on the field with minimal experience. And how much has Diaco this year talked about, well, you know, you can simulate as much as you want, but when it comes to game time, there is no substitute. Can these guys get acclimated to 60 minutes on the field, execute, make plays, and kind of ascend to their top talent level.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you're betting on.
Oh, and let's throw in tight end.
Right.
Tyler Hoppus. Oh, this guy's great. He's a red zone threat. He's a huge. He was like fifth string
again though,
last year. He didn't play at all.
Again, how many tight ends did you have in front of him that had been there for 3 years?
Well, okay, but if he's that good, why didn't he leap those guys?
Well, you're not going to leap Seath and Carter. You're not going to leap Foster. You're not going to leap Cotton. I mean, Cotton's
why
still,
not?
Still catching
if you're that much better,
it took a little year of seasoning, Kranach.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying. The only I don't know.
I mean, homie wasn't Joni Mitchell walking in the door. Okay, some guys kind of work up to it.
I get it. The only thing I feel certain about going into this year.
In the last 10 minutes, have you talked yourself out of 9? Because you just laid out a lot of the questions.
No, I haven't talked myself out of it. It's just I've never gone into a season knowing so little. The only thing I know going into this year, only thing I know for sure, Stanley Morgan is really good at receiver.
Right.
He's going to catch a lot of balls, and he's going to score a lot of touchdowns. I know that. That's it. What else can you say with 100% certainty right now based on what you've seen? Is Nick Gates going to be Nick Gates versus Barnett? Or the Nick Gates that, you know, has started since he was a freshman because he was real talented? Is the offensive line finally going to start moving people? I don't know. Is Damori Pearson-Oh going to return to freshman form? I don't know. Is Tanner Lee really Aaron Rodgers? Don't know. Who's got the running back spot? I don't know.
Depends on formation.
How about that new 3-4 with Freedom and Mick and Carlos along that front line? Imposing dudes, but are they ready to go in that new?
That is some of the questions out there. Mark Kranach, Chris Schmidt. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Ethan Engineering and Producing this morning. We will get caught up with Jerry DiNardo, the Rewind segment coming up. Want to remind you about Wilderness Ridge. The solar eclipse is going on Monday. Can spend it with your friends at Wilderness Ridge. And they suggest you give them a shout. Reserve a spot for you. And again, that eclipse begins at 11:37 and ends at 2:30. Why not be out on the just beautiful deck at Wilderness Ridge with friends and family, and enjoy some solar-inspired cocktails at Wilderness Ridge. Great selection. And can give Wilderness Ridge a ring today, 402-434-5106. Tee time sounds pretty awesome to me this weekend. Make one today with Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com, and explore their membership benefits and pricing in an amazing youth golf teaching setup and system with Mike Schuhart, of course, Chris Thompson there at Wilderness Ridge. The Eclipse, the place to be, Wilderness Ridge, and for all your Sunday, Saturday, or even maybe an outing with some business colleagues, the golf at Wilderness is exquisite. The Talon course, a 9-hole course, and the championship course is fantastic. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. A quick timeout. And we'll be back with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Our Rewind segment on the way with Big Ten Network's Jerry DiNardo. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Welcome in with the Big Ten Network, the coach, Jerry DiNardo, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. The BTN World Tour, taking a bit of a break and back in Minnesota tomorrow, leaving Nebraska on Tuesday. Coach, thanks for squeezing in a few minutes with us. I know it's been a hectic travel schedule. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks.
Well, let's let's start off with your trip to Lincoln. And Coach, what were some things that you were interested in observing? I mean, obviously you get a day with all of the teams in the Big Ten, but what are some thoughts you had? What are some things you were looking for before you got to Lincoln?
You know, a lot of positive changes, Chris, at practice. I think the energy's higher than I remember it. I think part of it is obviously the players now know Coach Riley and his system. I think you have both staffs coaching what they really want to coach. You know, the transition offensively, although necessary, you know, I think was difficult, and now they're in the offense I think that they want to play with as they go forward. And I think that energizes a staff, which in turn energizes a team. I think it's been well documented that Bob Diaco's a high-energy guy. So, I was just really impressed with both sides of the ball and the energy of the team. And I think it starts with the fact that both offense and defensive coaches are doing what they really want to do.
Jerry DiNardo is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You mentioned that energy, Coach, and you've coached a long time. And was that something that, just being a former coach, you kind of knew where maybe Mike was coming from or even Coach Diaco was coming from, just that belief in what they're doing and how it could affect the room? Is that something that you could relate to?
Yeah, I always think it takes a little bit of time to get your program installed. And, you know, I don't know that it was an easy transition for Mike. I just think, you know, Nebraska's a big-time program, and everyone's expecting so much. And you get there, you know, Brady Hoke went through the same thing with Denard Robinson at quarterback. And so, you know, it just, to me, it just seemed just so more natural, comfortable yesterday than I remember it. And so, and again, it's one practice, so, you know, maybe I got him on a good day, maybe other days I've got him on a bad day. But I do think that, especially for the offensive coaches, I mean, this is what they've wanted to do offensively since they've been there and really haven't had a chance to do it.
Coach DiNardo's with us. When, you know, looking at your Twitter account and you and Howard and Revson did a great job along with Dean Hart, just kind of updating Nebraska fans, updating the Big Ten on social media. And you mentioned the reboot being an understatement, but the scheme moving the program forward, this style of offense, when it's operating at its best, how game-changing do you think it can be in the league?
Well, I think it starts in the West, Chris.
Sure.
You know, one of the great things about divisional play, I was in the SEC when it first went to two divisions, is if you win your division, even if the other division maybe is deeper or has more talent, and you get to the championship game, you just have to be better than that team that you're playing on the night of the championship game. You don't have to be a better team. You have to be a better team that night. Iowa almost won the Big Ten championship a couple years ago when Michigan State went to the playoffs. If they could have stopped Michigan State on a 22-play drive, Michigan State was certainly more talented than Iowa that year. But that night, it was down to the last play of the game, or almost the last play of the game. So my point is this. If you look at the Western Division, Wisconsin has won it. Iowa has won it. Now, Nebraska was there a couple years back with Bo. It didn't turn out real good that night. But I think to win the West, the way Nebraska is built, much like Wisconsin and Iowa, is the best way to win the West. Then when you get to the championship game, you might be out-talented now, but as recruiting improves, especially with the new rules specific to Nebraska, then I think that even helps them. So I think this is the scheme for Nebraska to continue to build the program to a championship level, which is obviously what everybody wants.
Identify how you can take down your own division and then, you know, let the cards fall in the Big Ten championship game against a team maybe you're rematching. It's a sound plan. Coach Jerry DiNardo with his Big Ten Network, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, the lines of scrimmage, what and who impressed you in your snapshot when you were here on Tuesday? Does the line look better, at least in this short glimpse you have?
You know, I think it does. I do, and I think I've said this on Twitter. You know, maybe I didn't say it on Twitter. Maybe it was on the radio. But, you know, there was no inside drill, no 9-on-7 drill. Mm-hmm. And so you know, that's usually where you watch the lines on both sides of the ball and the linebackers. You watch them during individual, and then when you do an inside drill, which is a drill for your listeners that may not recognize it, you know, there's no wide receivers, there's no passes, it's just the line against the line with the running backs and the linebackers. And that drill wasn't in the practice. I'm sure it was in the day before, and it probably was in today. We just caught a day when it wasn't in. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel good about exactly coming away with a great feel about the line of scrimmage. Other than, it looks like they're fine. Gates looks over the top good. He jumps out at you no matter what drill you're doing. But I think they're solid there, Chris. I wish I could tell you more. Mm-hmm. But if they weren't solid, I think that would have come out. I just wish I had a better feel for them.
No, that's completely fair. You want to see how they square off against the defense. And do you think the buzzword's been energy by Diaco and the standard he holds his defense to. Do you think maybe that has helped push the O-line to be better?
Well, I just think energy, you know, as I go around and watch teams, I can tell you there's teams that coach with no energy, and I don't think they get a lot done. And then there's teams mm-hmm. that coach with a lot of energy. Now, whether the energy started with Bob or whether the energy started because the offensive coaches are comfortable, I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
I think it's a combination of all these things. And you just get a lot more done. It's more fun for the players. The other thing, Chris, is the new rules. No more double sessions. So now the players are probably a little bit more rested. So, you know, for me, you know, I think it was a perfect storm this year for how good they looked. I think a year ago it was just the opposite for me, if you recall, which mm-hmm. I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do.
I wasn't impressed a year ago with the practice and the practice structure. But, again, it's one day. But I'm going to go based on, you know, what I see, not necessarily what someone else reads. And I was very impressed.
Jerry DiNardo, a couple more minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Big Ten Network in Lincoln on Tuesday. They saw Nebraska. They are off to Minnesota tomorrow. Coach, I want to spend a second on Tanner Lee. And is he a guy you think, again, to preface it, one day, but is he a guy that could be, in your opinion, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, based on this quick look? Is he a guy that can keep Nebraska in games with his talent level?
Sure. I mean, first of all, there's not many guys in his system, right? It's basically Iowa, it's Michigan, it's Wisconsin. You know, there's not many teams built around a quarterback like Tanner.
Gotcha.
He certainly can throw it. He's as advertised. Specifically, what I thought he did really well is ball placement. If there was a tight end or receiver dragging across the middle, he put it in front where the receiver could catch it without breaking stride. If it was a long pass, the receiver could catch it in a spot where the defender couldn't defend it, and he kept stride. And so he definitely can spin it. I mean, anybody can watch that, he can spin it. But watching him during the team drills, especially his ball placement, I thought was really excellent. He's the right guy. I'll tell you what, though, Chris, the other two quarterbacks are good. I mean, this is a deep quarterback roster right now. And Mike Riley says it. Mike Riley's so fired up about this team because he loves the chemistry. And he keeps saying, and my quarterback's never taken a snap. But you do get the feel that Tanner's a little unusual, that he's played in games at Tulane. He was here last year. They brought him to media days. I would say he's an unusual first-time starter. So I think we're all encouraged by those things. And now we just have to wait until Arkansas State.
Coach, have you been to Wisconsin and Iowa? You've been to Iowa, but have you been to Wisconsin yet?
We've been to Iowa. I'm in Minneapolis as we speak, and we go to Wisconsin, and they practice Friday night.
Okay.
So that tomorrow afternoon, Minnesota, Friday night, Wisconsin.
Who else that you've seen to this point, what other program has wowed you?
I think I would say to you, Michigan State, I think they're much like Nebraska. I know they play each other. Michigan State, to me, looks like the teams that Mark D'Antonio was building in year like 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
Not like the Final Four team or the semi playoffs when they got blown out by Alabama. That was a really talented team. This isn't that talented of a Michigan State team. This is Mark D'Antonio's kind of team. I think Michigan State's going to bounce back in a big way. I don't think they'll win the East, but they'll have something to say about who wins the East. And I'd put Iowa there. You know, if Iowa can throw and catch the ball, which I don't know that they can, especially based on one practice, they're going to be a really, really solid team. They're very good in the offensive line. They're talented in running back. But new quarterback, they haven't really showed that they can throw it and get off coverage and all that. So I'd say those teams, of all the teams we've seen, you know, I put Michigan State, Iowa, and Nebraska kind of in the same spot where, man, they look good at practice. Can't wait to see them play.
Can I dare you to give me a win total? I know you gave one last year.
You know, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I know they played Michigan State in the crossovers. I know to go to Oregon. Probably not. I'm going to do that probably when we do that East-West show next week.
Okay.
I'll probably do it then. I mean, I would just be taking a shot in the dark. But let me say this, though, because, you know, I get a lot of feedback on Twitter. You know, some of it positive. But, you know, because I said I think this is Mike Riley's best team, it's his best staff, it's the best scheme. That's kind of how I termed it on Twitter. That doesn't mean I think they're going to have their best season.
Sure.
And I'll stand by that right now. I think this is the best coaches, the best scheme, and the best team. Now, whether they win more games than they won last year, I don't know. Because you only control half the equation. I'm just telling you, when I watched them yesterday, I said, Mike has got this thing going. If they take advantage of the new recruiting rules and they keep going in the way they're going right now, it's hard to reach the Nebraska fans' expectations because that has championship written all over it. And I think he's on the right track based on yesterday.
You know, their crossover is Penn State and Ohio State. You get Ohio State in Lincoln. Your other crossover is Rutgers. So, I mean, it's...
So you don't get Michigan State. I was wrong.
No, you're fine. I'm not trying to correct you on the air. I'm just saying the crossovers are still not easy. Two of the three.
Two of the best teams we've seen.
Right. I mean two playoff teams. Absolutely.
Michigan, Chris, Ohio State, and Penn State have separated themselves from everybody else to this point. So we've seen nine teams. So I would put those three. Then kind of on the bottom is Rutgers and Indiana. And then you've got these teams and Maryland. And then you've got these teams in the middle that we've seen, Iowa, Michigan State, and Nebraska. So you're right. The two of those crossovers are two of the most talented teams for sure and probably two of the best teams we've seen.
I think the O-line, if they stay healthy, can be all right. I think Lee's a difference maker at quarterback. The depth at receiver is a question, but it's not that there's not talent there. They got some young kids that can really be good at the skill spots. Defensively, though, it's that transition that is the other buzzword of the fall camp, is how do they switch over to the 3-4, and do they find a guy at kind of that outside linebacker spot that can be a monster pass rusher but still be good in coverage? And of course, you don't have Chris Jones at corners. So I think it's a big ask to be great defensively year one in a transition, especially from a 4-3 to a 3-4. It could happen. I think Diaco, you know, his mindset is it's going to happen, but there's a reality to it. And I think the offense could help the defense out early in the year until they kind of get their sea legs. I think they could, though, be a really good team. But I think a year from now, when everyone's a senior, it could be really dynamite, especially if you get Lee back.
Yeah, I is encouraged and optimistic as I am. I would say two, you know, cautions a little bit. You know, there is going to be a transition, and there's going to be some things that we don't expect right now in the transition. Mm-hmm. Probably the bigger transition, obviously, is the defense. And then we don't know about injuries. The good thing about changing on offense is the relationships are already there. You know, it's not like you're taking over a new program the first year where Mike Riley had to put tape on helmets to know everybody's name.
Right.
So when you take over a program, you're not only installing a new offense and defense, but you're trying to build relationships. So the fact that relationships are already built, and I can tell you Bob Diaco is an easy guy to get to know and get to like. So the transition there is pretty easy, and they've got two of their defensive coaches, I think, back, or more than two, back from last year's staff. So there's familiarity there with relationships. That helps a lot. But there'll be some bumps in the road. I mean, this isn't going to be easy. It's never easy.
Jared, DeNardo, make it easy on us here on AL Varsity, Big Ten Network, giving us time after he got out of Lincoln. Coach, we'll catch up soon. Enjoy Minneapolis, and thanks for your time today, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Take care.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, big thanks to Jerry DeNardo, Big Ten Network, part of our Rewind. Brandon Vogel, 20 minutes away. In hour two, Greg Smith, recruiting update, as he is down. He got to see Mario Goodrich last night. We'll get caught up with Gregers on that, and can find us on the ESPN Lincoln app and also on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Hail Varsity. Pretty positive look from Coach DeNardo, Mark, this year in camp. Wasn't ultra impressed last year, and he was pretty honest about, look, you can catch guys and teams in a good or bad day, and it's got to all kind of be running together at this point when it's, you know, a 14-team, 15-day tour. I think they were in Wisconsin last night. They saw Minnesota Thursday. But they had, they being the group, had some pretty positive reactions to Nebraska. And some bumps in the road, but it could turn out pretty well.
Look, he was critical about Nebraska last year, and that made a lot of people angry.
Let's just say he was right about Nebraska last year.
Yeah, I mean, not entirely. He said he'd be surprised if they made a bowl game. So that might have been pushing it a little bit too much. But upon further review,
the physical part of things is the thing that rings true with me. You know,
yeah.
He questioned how physical they were.
Well, and upon further review, I think we all know that was not a great 9-win team, right? Like,
that's very,
we can all agree,
fair.
You know, a couple bounces here and there, that could very well have been a 6-win team. And the way they limped to the finish was, oof, not really good. So in some ways, you got to, I don't know, I find him to be credible. Yes, the Big Ten Network is, you know, it's biased, of course. So are we. So am I. But, you know, they're biased towards, you know, they'll go to a Rutgers practice and be like, wow, I'll tell you what, this Rutgers squad, they could do some damage. And they're not going to do any damage. It's just what they have to do on the Big Ten Network. But it seems like for whatever reason, DeNardo, it's like he assesses Nebraska in a different way. You know what I mean? He assesses Nebraska compared to what he grew up seeing Nebraska as. Right, he compares them to that,
or coaching against,
right? Exactly. That's what I mean. Like when he was at Colorado, so that's the standard he holds for Nebraska. So I think he criticizes Nebraska a little bit more than he would some other programs, but the way he talks about Lee goes right in line with what everybody else is saying. Look, it just doesn't make any sense why this is happening. That's the only thing I guess I'm worried about with Lee. Back to what we were talking about in the first segment, where it's like, is he going to feel the pressure? Well, I don't know if he's going to feel the pressure, but I don't know if he can possibly live up to what he's being cracked up to be. Like, if this guy isn't 25 of 32 for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns every game, like, what if he, God forbid, goes 20 for 40 one game? And only gets 200 some. Like, what's wrong? This guy sucks. He wasn't any good. Come on. I thought he was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. So from that perspective, is this guy going to have too much heaped on him too soon? You know what I mean?
That goes back to the pressure, though.
Well, right. But look at Arkansas State, for instance. Without studying Arkansas State's defense, any of that, what do you expect? I'm expecting at least 250 from Lee. I'm expecting at least 65% completion.
I'm looking more.
Probably 2 or 3 touchdowns. Maybe
more
a pick.
I'm looking more at the efficiency, you know, week one, than total stats, because I think they're going to try and be as vanilla as possible heading into the Oregon week. And they're going to try and just kind of be basic and just beat up a team with probably page one or two of their playbook. Now, I got a source that is not real whippy about that first matchup, meaning that Arkansas State could be a son of a bee to deal with because they're all dudes that were good enough to get looked at Clemson or Georgia or Florida State or Alabama, and due to behavior and decision-making, they were booted. They were good enough to go to a lot of Power 5 schools, and this is truly last chance you, Arkansas State. Their coach brings in a bunch of desperados, so to speak, and says, go play, go win, make a name for yourself, we'll try and get you to the league. That's what element is rolling in. A lot of talent with some questionable decision-making in the past.
Well, it sort of reminds you, remember Southern Miss in the late 90s, early 2000s? It's kind of a similar outfit at the time, right? Like, the dudes that could play, right? What's that guy's name? Adarius?
Thomas.
Oh, I mean, come on. He just destroyed Nebraska, just him alone. Almost won the game for them. Adalius Thomas, sorry. So that's scary. You don't know if they have one of those guys that could just that just has a matchup where it just works for them, you know? And hey, look, 9-win team last year.
Yeah. And they've had a pretty good pedigree. So yeah. No, it's interesting to see how things will shake out. They're going to try and run it. Let's spend a couple of minutes here before we say goodbye this hour on the running backs, Mark, and it'll likely be committee. Trey Bryant has not been healthy enough this week to see much contact. You have a freshman in Jalen Bradley that is talented, but will you redshirt him? And the guy that's been mentioned by Langsdorf has been Wilbon. And let's just go down that road. Is Wilbon a guy that maybe not initially, but as the season progresses, that can be a 25 to 30 touch a game guy? Because you know he's thick enough to run between the tackles. You know he can catch it in the screen game, and that's going to be a monster emphasis, is the screen game for Nebraska. And the swing pass, catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, Nebraska's going to wear that thing out. And if he emerges, then it could be good. If Ezigbo can stay healthy, man, I really love his game. I love his game in the draw. I love his power. I like the shiftiness he can have. And I like how he has always been able to get a couple extra yards after contact. Bryant's speed is mesmerizing. And as young as he is, he's been pretty big time towards the end of the year, and I think specifically about the Minnesota game, okay, just as a catcher out of the backfield. So you have three options, and you have different personnel groupings that you can go with the backs. This isn't a bad thing, but I think you long for, Mike Riley, that is, the days where you have, you know, a Quiz Rogers, a guy that can do it all for you, and you don't have to maybe show your hand based on who's in the game at running back. I think that's the downside to having the committee versus just one guy. You can do anything. Do you think there's enough talent in that running back room to have a guy eventually emerge? I say there is, but are they going to let it happen? Or are they going to be a little pass happy, so to speak, and go with what they know, and that's okay when it's more of a power situation? We're bringing Ziggy in. If we have a matchup we like on the outside with Bryant as a pass catcher, there we go. Bryant also could have thrived and strived to be better between the tackles. Who knows? I mean, you have options, but you don't have that dude right now.
Well, maybe not. Although, every time we've seen Wilbon, I think if you're just to poll Husker fans and say, who's the most talented running back? It's 85% would say Wilbon, just from little of what you've seen. Which, can we go back to those days as a running back? Can we go back to those days, like the Brandon Jackson type days?
Yeah, I loved watching him play.
But those types of players that are just like, you can't really, they just have the stuff you don't teach. You know what I mean? You're just like, I don't know where that dude gets those jukes from, but I'm glad he has them. Like juking matters. You know, it's almost like a lost art at running back with all the stretch plays. And, you know what I'm saying? Same with Amir. You know, Amir had the jukes. It's like, yes, so good to see jukes back in the repertoire. And look, Wilbon's got those in spades. I mean, that's an ankle-breaking running back.
Ankle-breaking. He is. Hour one in the books. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, the weekend edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, a quick timeout. Hour two around the corner as Brandon Vogel going to be with us. We'll also get caught up with Greg Smith, a recruiting update. Hour two on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
I'm Christine Lisi. No lack of power on the diamond Friday night. There were 58 home runs hit, tied for the second most on one day in Major League Baseball history. All 16 runs scored in the Angels-Orioles game came via the home run, 10 total. Capped off by a walk-off grand slam by Manny Machado, Baltimore won at 9-7. LA's Albert Pujols hit his 609th career homer, tied Sammy Sosa for 8th most all-time. The 7th inning at Fenway Park between the Red Sox and Yankees lasted 1 hour and 15 minutes. There were 19 batters, 6 pitchers, 8 runs scored, 2 lead changes. Boston scored 4 in that inning, rallying for a 9-6 victory and leads New York by 5 in the American League East. Nationals took care of the Padres 7-1. Washington's Max Scherzer, scratched from his start with a neck issue, put on the DL. He was scratched from the start earlier this month with a sore neck. Twins rolled by the Diamondbacks 10-1. Byron Buxton doubled, tripled, had an inside the park home run. Minnesota up a half game on Seattle and Kansas City, a game and a half on Texas for the second AL wildcard spot. Rockies 8, Brewers 4, Colorado leading Arizona by a game for the top NL wildcard spot. Dodgers 8, Tigers 5, LA 25-5 since the All-Star break. That ties the best mark in history after the Midsummer Classic. For a second straight week, Seattle's Michael Bennett sat during the national anthem before the preseason game against Minnesota. But last night, teammate Justin Britt, who is white, put his arm on Bennett's shoulder to join him in that protest. Earlier this week, while on SportsCenter, Bennett called for a white player to join the protest. Eric Jones has the pole for the Monster Energy Cup race tonight. Kyle Larson finishes up the front row.
Blake Bortles struggled for Jacksonville, and the starting job is up for grabs. Is there any chance they would sign Colin Kaepernick? Mike and Michael be talking about it Monday morning, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
In hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Ethan producing and engineering. And into hour two, we'll get a recruiting update from Greg Smith of Hail Varsity in about 25 minutes. We welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, how are we this morning? Let's pop the phone up. There we go. Yeah, Vogues, are you there, buddy?
I am here.
All right. You're jacked, man. You're coming down for the fight. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys? It's gonna be a fun time. I think you and I talked a little bit yesterday. This will be my first boxing match of this magnitude, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Sweet. I was going to ask you about are your seats, are they on the floor? Or are you up in the stands? Where are you at?
We're on the floor somewhere. We decided if we're going to go, let's pony up and then let's go. So
what's awesome about that is you will know when it's a big hit when you see all the sweat go flying and it's backlit by the cool spotlights. That's when you know it's a big hit. That's when you know somebody seriously landed something. It's an awesome thing watching boxing from the floor. Like, you'll want to keep doing it.
I've been on my list, so we can check one off tonight.
Yeah, sure. It's good.
Kranak, are you rolling down for this?
I'm not going to go. No, just because you know, there's a lot coming up with the season. I need to pick my battles.
So the whole, watch it so on the TV. Whole pass has been revoked for boxing.
No, it's self-revoked. I'm like, all right, I'll sit this one out and just watch it on TV. But looking forward to it, though, man. That's going to be awesome.
Krainak, you're a scholar. I mean, you are. Look at you. You probably squeezed, what, two more home games out of not going coming down tonight?
See how that works? It's easy. Yeah. Well, plus it's on ESPN. And it's free, you know, like, you know.
So folks, what he just told us here is that he will be in the Krainak section of Memorial Stadium for sure, those back-to-back monster games against Wisconsin and Ohio State, just by having some self-discipline and control and not pushing the envelope. Krainak, we can all learn from you. And I mean, I'm not just mocking you. I'm serious. That's pretty big of you.
You're welcome. Yeah, no problem. No problem. Hey, speaking of cool things, like that advice I just gave you, how about being able to get Brandon Vogel's autograph?
I know.
Brandon, how weird is that, by the way? Like, I don't know. How many times have you been asked for an autograph, and you're going to be in a book signing August 28th with John Cook at Barnes & Noble in Lincoln? That's got to feel weird. Or how are you feeling about that?
It feels very weird to me. I'm of course, proud of the work we put into the book, and I think people are really going to like it. That said, you know, it's Coach Cook's philosophy. He's won three national titles. I've won none. So I have this sort of nightmare scenario where I'm going to be there with Coach Cook signing books, and everyone just kind of wishes they just had Coach Cook's signature on it. So if that's the case, and anyone is coming to the book signing, just tell me that. I will not be offended in the least. I will totally get it, because I'm kind of worried that you're thinking that anyway.
Absolutely. So something that should elevate your confidence could end up trashing it. When they just show up and they're like, dude, please don't sign it. We just want, like, we don't want your signature. Get it off of there. That's horrible.
I would be more okay with that than having to think that, like, they're going away unhappy. They're just like, it'd been so much better if it was just one of these people here. But
Vogues, it's a brilliant ploy to buy two copies, one with Cook's signature and your signature, and one with just Cook's signature.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good selling proposition. Maybe if you're not busy on Monday night, next or a week from Monday night, maybe I'll post you up at the door and buy you dinner afterwards.
Well, I'll come see you for sure, and you don't need to buy me dinner. I will be the crowd control for the Brandon Vogel autograph seekers.
let's go autograph hound on him and bring like 48 things for him to sign.
Have you ever seen that happen? We'll get to football in a second, but have you seen a unsuspecting ex-Husker just kind of trolling around downtown or wherever, and super fan rolls up with their trunk full, says, "You got a minute?"
I haven't seen that.
With a binder, a three-ring binder.
I'm talking pennants. I'm talking programs. I'm talking 8x10s. I have witnessed that a few times. And this poor, scared look of terror washes over the face of said Huskers, and they just kind of smile and they pray that there's not going to be a Dexter moment where they're tranked from the neck and they wake up in this guy's Husker den.
I have seen that happen with a couple of former Huskers. I've seen it happen in an airport. We one time had to have a flight get in at the same time as a flight that contained a bunch of WWE wrestlers, and there were a bunch of guys at the baggage claim with binders and everything else. And you see it a little bit of Big Ten Media Days occasionally. You'll see a couple of those guys milling about who you know they're there to kind of get as many as they can on as many things as they can.
You know, what's weird, too, is seeing the ultimate Bama fan in the Big Al hat roll up to Saban, you know, as he's getting off the escalator at SEC Media Days, and you see Saban's little glare towards the guy, and, "How you doing, son?" And he begrudgingly signs it. Once, though, I would like to see the, "No, I'm busy. I'm with my family. Can't do it. Thank you." I would like to see how that reaction goes.
Well, and that's the trap of it all. Like, you kind of can't do that because then you become labeled, at least to that guy, as a jerk who then tells all his other friends that you're a jerk, and so on it goes.
I understand. There are some, though, that want a 20 spot for them to sign anything.
Well, like, I mean, I think once you've hit, you know, somewhere around 2,000 or 3,000 signatures in your career, I think that's more than fair. Especially if a guy's coming with a stack of things.
Uh-huh, exactly. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, what's your take been on this third week of practice? Obviously, the storylines heading into the weekend, who are going to be the captains, what redshirts end up not redshirting, or what freshmen end up not redshirting, and then the running backs battle. We spent a little time opening the show kind of referencing your story on Tanner versus Diaco in the great rain game, also in reference to pressure. But I want to start you off with, of that kind of mixed bag there, the freshmen that you think could play versus redshirting. Who are you thinking will see time versus sitting out and kind of learning?
Yeah, well, I think everyone assumes Tyjon is definitely
he's kind of off the board, yes.
Yep. You know, DeAndre Thomas is another one who it seems like is kind of right there and is gonna play right away. And you know, we've seen that a little bit over the past couple of years with freshman defensive linemen who have kind of worked their way in there and gotten some snaps. So I think he's going to be there to help. You know, Rafdahl was kind of a tight end that I thought might have a chance, but haven't heard a lot on him. And it seems like, you know, some other guys with a little bit of a head start at tight end maybe have kind of locked that down. So other than that, you know, it's kind of hard, at least for me, to make a call on many other guys.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah, it is a little difficult at this point to figure out. And we were talking in the last hour, and I know we've talked about this a little bit already, but is this not the year compared to any other year? Like, I am less certain about anything. Like, I am so uncertain about so many positions. Doesn't mean they're going to be terrible. Just means, like, what we actually know is pretty much that Stanley Morgan is good at receiver. And outside of that, it's sort of like you got to take a little bit of a leap of faith or believe the coaches.
You really do. I was thinking about it the other day. I don't know if since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten, if there's a roster where there was less that, I guess you'd consider proven, like Stanley Morgan's ability proven at this point. You know, you can go all the way back to 2011, and I feel like each of those seasons, you at least had a little bit more where you said, okay, well, whatever happens, you can feel good about Nebraska doing this, or you can feel good about player X doing this. And it's made this season hard to sort of get your arms around. That's been the case all off season. We've all been trying to do it. And eventually I think, you know, we're going to get to the night before game day and we're still not going to feel like we've totally got a handle on it. But I think that also makes this, makes it pretty exciting. The projections are, you know, sort of in line with where Nebraska's been over the past 4 or 5 years. But I do think the ceiling is potentially a little bit higher maybe than past seasons. I don't know that that's the most likely outcome. Well, I know that I don't think that it's the most likely outcome, but I do think there's that sliver of it where you're like, well, if everything really comes together, you might have the chance here to really contend in the division and run up to 9-10 wins.
Hmm. Brandon Vogel is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and that you said it right there, contend for the division, in that goal has been spoken about a couple of different times this camp. You know, get to the Big Ten championship game. Nebraska, to do that, will need some run game, not only efficiency, but a difference maker there running and catching the ball. We kind of ended the first hour touching on the running backs. And do you think it's going to be a case where Nebraska could go with one guy that emerges? They may not know who or be ready to name a guy at this point or even heading into Oregon, but maybe post-Oregon or pre-Big Ten conference season, somebody will separate himself. Do you think it's a matter of a little longer to do it? Or do you think if it was going to happen, it would have happened already?
Yeah, I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened already. And you know, the coaches have talked about how they like that, how they want that sort of featured back role. And when you think about what that would mean, so if you just take this team and play it out, pick your favorite, you know, if Mikhail Wilbon is getting so many carries that it's noticeable that he's the featured back, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of people who are calling for Azigba to get more carries. You know, he should have gotten that carry on 3rd and 2. Or for Trey Bryant to be in, you know, on a play-action passing down. All of these things. So we talk about the featured back, but these guys are so close, and I think the separation would have to be so great. And that it's not there now tells me that it's probably not coming in the next 2 weeks.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Assuming health, I was kind of looking at it recently. No, is Nebraska's defensive line, do they have a lot more potential maybe than we've been giving it credit for? When you just look, you know, you look at Freedom, you look at Mick, and you look at Carlos, those guys are all kind of physical freaks, right? And they're all like at least 280. I don't know. When you just look at it physically, I'm sort of like, huh, those guys might actually be able to do some serious damage.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I hadn't really thought about it, but you're right. When you just look at those guys, so Freedom was obviously started as a tight end. Mick is what Mick is, a giant defensive tackle. And you've got Carlos and even Khalil Davis as pretty athletic defensive linemen. You know, they're throwers in track and field, but they still compete in track and field. It's almost, you know, I think you can take the opportunity to reset here and kind of go back and rewrite the future that you may have expected in their freshman years, where you talk about, yeah, Freedom Akinbolden was a freak athlete in high school, tight end, transitioned to defensive end. And if he was, you know, a potential All-American, then it all snaps neatly into place and makes sense. We're just waiting to see a little bit of that sort of level of production. But in terms of physicality and athleticism, the pieces are definitely there for I think 4 or 5 of those guys on the line.
Brandon Vogel is with us. A few more minutes here on HailVarsity.com and magazine with Vogues. And Brandon, I want to shift gears and get your thoughts here. What kind of spurred you on to your story with Diaco V. Lee that rainy day down in New Orleans?
Well, what spurred me on to it was I was talking with our staff members, and I said, has anybody asked Diaco, just like as a guy from a defensive lens, what his view of Tanner Lee is? I mean, we've gotten almost literally everyone else's view on Tanner Lee, but I don't know if we've gotten Diaco's. And then I was like, well, they probably, unless Lee was injured during one of those games, they probably would have played each other in the AAC. So I went back and looking, and Lee didn't play in 2014, but he did in 2015. So that's sort of one of my favorite hobbies, is finding, like, okay, here's the game, whenever it is. Let's go back historically and find out everything we can about it. So that's how we got there. And, you know, next week when we get access to Diaco, maybe we'll try and ask him the actual question that spurred it all along. Because I am interested in his view of Lee now, especially as someone who 2 years ago actually had to prepare to face it.
Well, and Mother Nature was a 12th man, woman, and child that day in New Orleans. And I asked you yesterday, and I talked to Kranek about it, who throws the ball 40 times when it's rained an inch and a half, 1.5 inches during a game? Tulane did, and it didn't work out well. I look at Diaco and that defense. It was really good because that Diaco team beat a 13-1 Houston, that team that beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl. So he had his defense roaring already in year two at UConn. And then there's Tanner, where it went downhill that game and beyond from an injury and a protection standpoint for him. I kind of wrapped that into the whole discussion we had about his poise and the pressure. And I think there's not much bad he hasn't seen, Vogues. I think he'll be ready to handle not only the bad, but what could be really good this year. I think the stress is not a main bullet point with a worry on Lee this year offensively. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. He would Nebraska would have to give up a lot of sacks this year for Tanner Lee to start having flashbacks to his Tulane years, because you go back and watch some of those games and it's just it's clear compared to yesterday to kind of watching a high school team where it's obvious they have a great quarterback but they just can't protect him, and when you can't do that it sort of goes for naught. That was kind of the case with Lee at Tulane. It's too bad that this game against UConn was such a rainy day, because it would have been interesting to see, you know, under perfect or near perfect conditions, what he would have done against the Diaco defense. Now, given where those two teams were at that point, I'm pretty confident UConn still would have held things in check pretty well, but would have been nice to see without the rain.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Bob Diaco is going to coach from the booth. And I've read somewhere that has literally never happened in Nebraska history. There has never been a defensive coordinator coaching from the booth as opposed to down on the field. Do you think that is a – what do you take from that? Do you think it's a good sign that Diaco is sort of trusting what's going on and he feels like he can do that, or is that just reading too much into it?
No, I do think there's probably a part of that, and that might be the residual effect. I mean, I think ultimately each coach just has to decide where they want to see the game from and what gives them the greatest advantage, obviously. But with what we've seen from him in the spring and so far in fall camp, you know he's pretty meticulous about every sort of detail. I'm assuming he's expecting the same of his assistant. So if there was, you know, let's say that's a realistic concern that nobody else has done it before, that there seems to have been some edge to being on the sideline and being able to interact directly with the players. If there's a guy who could manage that and sort of delegate that efficiently, I think it's probably Bob Diaco based on what I've seen.
If you're Diaco, you're ultra cautious and careful about any does this like religiously, that this is Mike Riley's team. Not my team, it's Mike Riley's team. And if you have both of them on the sideline, not that it should be an issue, but it might be an issue with not a power struggle per se, but it's a weird look, isn't it, for camera? I mean, you've got a former head coach that probably wants to be a head coach again, and you got a current head coach that took this monster job over, and, you know, are you gonna produce? There's a question out there about that. It would just be awkward, I believe, as all get out, and they're both professional and mature enough to handle it, but maybe some of us aren't, is my point.
No, it does become a lot easier to, you know, whichever way it goes, and I do think defense is definitely trending up for Nebraska in 2017. But even if it wasn't, you know, that's going to be how it's labeled, is Bob Diaco's 3-4, and it's going to be talked about in every sort of key to the game until maybe Nebraska proves that, well, you don't need to worry about it. But for the first 4, 5, 6 games, not being able to put a face with that probably does alleviate a little bit of what you're talking about there, Schmitty. And, you know, it'll be weird. Danny Langsdorf has been up in the box the whole time. Thinking about it from a magazine perspective, I think we've got like 6 total photos of Danny Langsdorf. So get your Bob Diaco FaceTime in now. You won't see him much on game days.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Well, that's a shame, too, because have you seen his eyes? Oh, my goodness. Bob Diaco. And his hair? I mean, he's very handsome. Very handsome man.
I am jealous of his hair. Last thought, Vogues. We'll get more into it here next week with you. But you've done a bit of a dive on Arkansas State. They've got some dudes, don't they? And they've got some castaways that could be playing at major programs had they done what they need to do. Now they're at Arkansas State. Nebraska's not going to be facing a soft opponent to kick things off, are they?
No, and I mean, I'm a little bit surprised at where that line's at, but only by like a point or two. So, you know, Arkansas State's physically impressive at a couple spots, particularly D-line. I think it looks like a Power 5 D-line to me. So Nebraska's offensive line is going to get a challenge right out of the gate. Got a former Oklahoma quarterback as their quarterback now. So it's sort of that classic Sun Belt type of roster that you see. But Arkansas State, you know, won a handful of Sun Belt titles here over the past couple of years. So they're a little bit elevated versus what you see from, you know, a Southern Miss or South Alabama. It's going to be a pretty interesting matchup for an opener.
It'll be a great primer for him. Vogues, we'll see you a bit later at the fight, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with his HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel, Dream Like a Champion, his book with Coach Cook. August 28th, the signing at the 56th and O, around that air, 50th and O, excuse me, Barnes & Noble is where you can go get that signature of Coach Cook and Brandon Vogel as you look at that a week from Monday. Sauter Heyman, how about Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, birthday, anniversary, or just an I love you gift, pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab. Instead of mined from the earth, what's that mean to you? Well, they're eco-friendly, they are sustainable, they're gorgeous, they're beautiful, and they're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why they're one of the biggest and best sellers at Sauter Heyman, and that is something you can do. 12th and O downtown Lincoln today, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west with your friends at Sauter Heyman in Grand Island. You can log on, sauterheyman.com. A quick timeout, we'll get some cruton in. As Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and magazine on the road, he had a chance to see Mario Goodrich last night. We'll get his take on the Micah Parsons chase, that five-star linebacker, and his thoughts on Manuel saying no thank you to Nebraska. Maybe it was Nebraska saying no thank you to Manny. Greg Smith next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Wanted through a Saturday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach. We bring on our recruiting analyst, Greg Smith, as he is on the road. Mario Goodrich is who he had his eyes set on last night. At Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Mr. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm good. Running low on sleep this morning, but that's all right. I had a great time last night at the game. Saw some good stuff.
Well, we'll get into the game in a second, but give me your barbecue review real quick because you taunted the world last night.
So yeah, I told you yesterday on the show I was going to Q39. It is my favorite joint, Kansas City barbecue. I got the burnt end sandwich. It's got some pepper jack cheese, the onion straws, and the spicy barbecue sauce. It's delicious. Always money.
Yeah, and Kranach, he did not bring any back for you or I. So
not cool.
We'll just keep that in the back of our mind.
You know, see what happened was I was running late. Uh-huh. You know, I wanted to, you know, get to work. That's what it was. I wanted to get to work.
Yeah, good answer. So you got to work last night. You got to watch Super Mario, Mario Goodrich, talented player that Nebraska has in the boat. Give us your reaction and kind of your rundown. And I know folks can also read about what you saw and what you analyzed on HailVarsity.com. But what did you think of your trip down there, and did he disappoint or did he impress?
He did not disappoint at all. And they do a really nice job, at least Summit West, of utilizing him in various ways to make sure that he's always kind of involved, even though they're not really forcing him the football on offense. They use him a lot as a decoy on offense to make sure that the defense is going that way and then, you know, give it to someone else. Say that kid number four, Phillip was his name, that has he's a really small running back, 5'9", 165, has an offer to Air Force, their coach told me afterwards, who had over 300 yards total offense. Now, he was really good by himself, but Mario helps that out as well. Mario did have a touchdown run in there as well, a couple catches. And then defense is what he'll be playing at Nebraska. He did have an interception, dropped one, which was the first thing he mentioned to me after the game. You'll read more about that on hillvarsity.com later. But no, he did not disappoint. He definitely stood out on the field as, you know, it's a good level of competition. Like, that's always good to see. But then he stands out even above that as a different type of athlete out there.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking about Mario Goodrich, Nebraska commitment down at Lee's Summit West. Greg was there last night watching. I'll tell you what, Greg, out of all the guys' film, you know, Buki is up there for sure. I'm most impressed with Mario Goodrich's. He just looks like he's such a, I don't know, he's such like a he plays so freely, right? Like he's,
yep.
the dude's just smoother than most people. He's faster than most people. It seems like he only plays at that speed too. Like he doesn't, I don't know. I'm very impressed with that guy. He looks like the type of guy that, yeah, you want him on punt return. You want him on kick return. You want him on the field as much as possible.
Yeah, and I love that you use the word smooth. That was the very first thing that popped to my mind when I saw him out there. Like, it's interesting because sometimes that can be confusing. I was guilty of this yesterday. It can be confused with a guy at corner that doesn't want to hit you, which is for the first part of the game what I thought, but it was primarily because they weren't going to his side at all. Like, the three times they threw to his side, one time he intercepted it, one time he dropped it, the other time he just knocked it down easily, but then they ran to his side a couple of times, and he just shot through and made a nice tackle. And talking to the coach afterwards, he has no problems getting in there making a hit either, which sometimes you can kind of think that that's not the case with a guy that's as smooth an athlete as he is. But you're absolutely right. Like, he jumps off the page to you athletically, and he really is a great athlete.
Greg Smith was on hand to watch Mario Goodrich last night, Lee Summit, Missouri, commit the athlete for Nebraska in 2018. Can find and follow Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV and read him. HailVarsity.com does a great job of covering recruiting. Gary called in. It was an off-air question, but what's your take right now, Greg, on Nebraska's recruiting? How's 18 going, and how are they in comparison to last year at this time? He wanted that answer.
Yeah, you know, I think that they're doing fine right now. It had been a little bit of a slow time, obviously, with commitments until they got Cameron Brown back on board. But they've had a lot of positive momentum here behind the scenes, guys setting up visits. Isaiah Crocker getting his official visit locked in. Might have some news later on today on HailVarsity.com about Mario Goodrich and his official visit date. Micah Parsons wants to visit for the Wisconsin game. So there's been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that hasn't just been, you know, big flash commitments, right? So things that lay the groundwork and the foundation for that. But as far as the class right now, I think you have to like where the class is. The three things that really stand out that you want them to be a little further on, but two of them they're doing, I think, a good job and trying to get guys, is trying to find that outside linebacker, that cat linebacker position. And obviously, Micah Parsons would fill that role if he so chooses to get into the class. You'd like to see them be a little bit further along with a big-time running back, but that and offensive tackle, which is the other spot, have just been the two that have been a bugaboo for this coaching staff since they've been here, and they know that they've got to figure that out, and they're working hard to try to fix that.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, real quick question about the signing days. Are the coaching staffs expecting that if you're a verbal commit, so you look at Nebraska's like 11 that they have now,
mm-hmm.
Is the staff expecting that all of those guys sign in December? Or, like what happens if they don't? Like, why are you commit and not signing in December? Like, should we expect that?
That is going to be such a fun question to see play out and to see that situation unfold, because it's going to add another layer of drama. Like, you can see that coming, right? Where, especially if it's one of the high-profile guys, like, heaven forbid, Buki does not sign on, like, the first couple of days of the early signing period or that first day of the early signing period. I think that there are some guys that they will expect to do that. Some of the guys that have been long expected to be early enrollees, and, like, for example, Buki is one of those guys. Josh Moore is one of those guys. So you would expect those guys to go ahead and sign early. But I think that they'll have those conversations, you know, early with guys and see, hey, do you really want to enroll early and get to campus early and sign right away and just get it out of the way? Or do you want to enjoy your second semester of your senior year? I think that they'll know that going in so that there's no surprises when that early signing period hits.
Greg Smith's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. So let's get to Manny Allen out of Corona. Was a four-star wideout. Said, I want to be a Louisville Cardinal, decommitted from Nebraska. What's the lowdown on this story, Greg?
Yeah, it's becoming the strange story of the 2018 cycle. There's always a couple of these each year. And Manny is now on his third committed school of this process for him. He was a USC commit, then flipped to Nebraska, now flipped to Louisville. It was a surprise to the Louisville coaches. It was a surprise that they found out on Twitter when he committed to them. So that's pretty interesting. He also, to my knowledge, has not visited Louisville, so that's also an interesting situation. But I think that essentially what happened here is Nebraska was going to part ways with him for a number of reasons. There's a lot of baggage with Manny Allen. I mentioned the multiple schools. He's also been to a couple of different high schools. There was a fight situation that he was involved in a couple of weeks ago where he was front and center in that. There's just a lot going on here with Manny Allen. I don't know, while he was a good player, and it always seems like it's sour grapes after a guy leaves a class, and I don't want to minimize how good of a player he was, but he was not the elite level talent that you would put up with all of that, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, you kind of got to pick your pick your battles with that, with how much are you going to take from a guy and what's the return on that investment talent wise. I mean, is he Randy Moss or not?
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of you know, multiple schools, I'm wondering too with Manny, is this a situation where he's just been, and again, this is not to tarnish or sour grape approach this kid's decision, you know, be happy, have a great college career, do your thing, you know, doesn't matter to me. Does Nebraska have guys of similar skill set or even greater skill set that they have as good a chance at getting? Because I know you mentioned Crocker. Who are some of the other wideouts, Greg, that are similar to Manny and could be just as good or even better fits and as productive for Nebraska?
Yeah, the guys that are similar to him that actually are I would say for sure, are higher rated on Nebraska's board than Manny Allen was, is Jalen Hall, a big, like, 6'4 wide receiver out of California, goes to Long Beach Poly and has a teammate, Ashari Crosswell, that plays safety that Nebraska is heavily interested in as well. You have Tommy Bush, who is a 6'4, 195 wide receiver out of Texas, who also runs a 4'4 and runs track. That's another guy that's very highly rated on the board. Then another guy that's been under the radar a little bit because Nebraska had not been recruiting him as hard until recently is Chase Cota, the number two player out of Oregon, the number one player, Talanoa Hufanga, is borderline five-star player that everybody in the country wants, but the number two player, Chase Cota, wide receiver, he's about 6'3", 6'4", as well, with a rangy wide receiver that can go up and get it and be a red zone target. And he also would be a guy that's really highly rated too. So Nebraska has guys similar body type and elsewise as well, guys that are not that body type that are also pretty highly rated left on the board. Wide receiver is a position this year that I'm not worried about Nebraska hitting their number, even though it has come back to bite them in the butt a little bit the last couple of seasons where they haven't hit their number. I think Keith Williams gets it done this year.
Keep locking.
Greg Smith.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, Greg Smith with us on Hale Varsity Radio. So let's talk a little bit about the actual team, the ones that are actually here. And you've been watching practice a little bit. And we were talking in the last hour about how we are so uncertain about so many positions because you just haven't seen a lot of these guys that Nebraska is going to depend on. You just haven't seen them play. So you don't know what to think. You can hope for the best, but you haven't actually seen it. So take Stanley Morgan off the table. Take Tanner Lee off the table, because the expectations are well documented. Who have you seen that you are certain, after what you've seen in practice, a player or two or three that most fans have not seen, that you are certain are going to be difference makers, impact guys this year? That who fits that bill for you?
Oh man, of guys that fans have not seen. That's the, mm-hmm. the wrinkle there that makes that interesting, because I was
or have like seen very little of. Like I would include Lamar Jackson in that group, right? Like we've seen very little of that guy, so he would qualify if Lamar that's one of your guys.
Lamar is a guy that would be on that list. The problem is, like you said, like I can say Lamar Jackson, but and then make an argument as to why I'm still a little bit nervous. But I do think Lamar fits that bill of a guy that will definitely, for me, have a nice season this year. Could have a good breakout and show why he was as highly recruited as he was. I'm very high on Luke Gifford. A guy that a lot of people think, hey, he keeps coming, he's about to be there for him. Then I think that he'll have a really nice season. Boy, outside of that, if he's healthy, I'll give you because running back is always talked about. If healthy, I still think Trey Bryant is a guy, because it feels like for as much talk as he's had about being locked in as the starter, that he was a guy that had 150 carries last year, and that definitely was not the case. So Trey Bryant is also one of those guys for me. If healthy, which again, that has a little caveat in there, I think fans will be really impressed with him.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Read him, follow him, and he'll have some amazing recruiting news today and a tremendous story on Mario Goodrich. Greg, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Thanks for your work last night, and we'll catch up with you soon, bud. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. There he is, Greg Smith with us of Hail Varsity. And a quick timeout. We'll wind down a Saturday next. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Winding down a Saturday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Ethan is producing today. Big thanks to Greg Smith down in Kansas City, or the Lee Summit area, as he saw Mario Goodrich. Big thanks to Brandon Vogel. And a tip of the cap to Jerry DiNardo, the rewind with him in hour one. So, Kranach, we've kind of hit on some of the questions we had, the kind of see it to believe it situation Nebraska's in with guys that just haven't done a lot. Not that they can't, but they haven't. And also, I wanted to wrap it up with this. They're considering captains this weekend. They're considering who's redshirting, who isn't. And, of course, the running back battle. And they'll also figure out who gets some of the scholarships, some of the walk-ons that'll earn scholarships. Put in Cole Conrad there, you would think. From a captain standpoint, though, that's a peer thing. And last year's captains were kind of picked by the peers. The first year they were delegated out by the staff. This year, I assume they'll go with the peer thing. And I'm just throwing it out there. I think from a captain standpoint, you'll have Lee. You might have Conrad. You'll have Mick. And maybe Chris Weber. Those are kind of the four guys I'm thinking about.
I think you got to throw in Stanley Morgan maybe as a contender.
Sure.
And then defensively, yeah, I would agree that Mick is definitely in there. I could see Aaron Williams too.
Sure.
Just with the sort of possibly Kalu.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to slight Kalu either. I just was, thinking of some of those guys. I think you're right on. I think Kalu and Weber, and I think Stanley's a great candidate as well. I think there's a lot of respect for him by his teammates, not just because the guy can ball, but I think they like how he brings it, every day to practice. Those are some of my thoughts. The red shirts we'll see, D-Train, DeAndre Thomas, just the way Riley kind of described yesterday. You don't think of this, I don't anyway, at nose guard having a change of pace. I think of nose guards as just mean, nasty dudes that just kind of go battering ram for about 70 plays a game. Well, you have mixed body type, and then you have Thomas and his quickness. I mean, Kavanaugh's mentioned it. Riley mentioned it. his height and his leverage just from
a... Wasn't Jay Moore really high on him, too, when we had the signing day special?
Yes, Jay loved him some D-Train. And just how quick and how good he was with his hands in that first step burst. That's a nice thing you don't often think about, having that versatility at that nose spot where, okay, you're not just going to eat space. You can go make a play because of your quickness.
You know, the more time goes along, the more I like the defensive line. And maybe that's just because, you know, all the hope and all the promise is wearing off and we're just accepting that as fact now. I don't know. But when you combine the twins, mm-hmm. Carlos and Khalil, you feel pretty good about those. I mean, those guys are freakishly strong, really quick players, both about 300 pounds. They could slide inside. They could go outside. You see what Stoltenberg is. You know about, I mean, Freedom, out of all the people at Fan Day that you saw up close, like, yeah, you don't want to mess with that dude. He's a good solid 280 and probably 2% body fat. Like, so physically, these guys look good. And then now you throw in DeAndre Thomas. You have Peyton Newell, who we haven't heard a ton about, but think about it. Usually you don't hear about guys in the trenches until they're juniors or seniors and after they've redshirted and they've been able to put on pounds and be in the weight room and all that. So I think that's a guy that could give you some minutes too. And so, and you figure there's only three positions and none of the positions are like required to be pass rushing threats. So you basically need sturdy, strong bodies that can, you know, handle the linemen. But and if they can disrupt, it's like a bonus. I feel like you have a lot of disruptor types on that defensive line. And it's something that we just haven't talked a lot about because I think most people have focused on, well, Mick isn't the, you know, he doesn't look like Terrence Cody, right? he doesn't look like the typical nose guard.
He's not Casey,
you know,
Hampton, right?
Yeah, he doesn't look like the typical nose guard that's 5'8", 420, you know? No, he doesn't. But you have, I just think you have a lot of pieces to play with there. And then the other thing, we've been putting a lot of stock in that and saying, well, you don't have the prototypical nose guard. But then you hear Diaco this week saying literally half of our plays will be in a four-man front.
Mm-hmm.
So how important is that, really? It's not like this guy's playing an exclusive 3-4. It's just in the bag of tricks. About half the snaps, you'll see that. The other half, you won't. So I don't know. Just as time goes along, I'm just feeling better overall about the defensive line. I don't think it'll be much of a liability. And if you believe that, and then you look at the linebackers and how you have about 22 guys to choose from, you're sort of like, okay, the defense might actually be something this year.
You've got some options and some talent, and Carlos Davis is going to go nuts. He could have a really good year. We'll be back on Monday with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Talk to you next time. Cranack, have a good weekend, brother.
You too, sir.